Hey, Vegas. Can you hear us?
Hi, Russ.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Hey. Good, good.
Well, things they seem to be changing every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's new for you in terms of school and life?
They're going to make me take some classes, but like, I have to go pick up the work, like the paperwork in school. Like, I'm going to have to be doing that work by myself. And, like, if I don't do it right, or, like, if I go to the school and when I turn it in, it's not right, like, that's going to be a big part of my grade. So I'm telling my mom, like, it's going to be a little bit hard because if I do end up doing it wrong, like, I don't have a teacher to, like, teach me.
We know that you work really hard to graduate in time. What is it like? I mean, to all of a sudden be thrown this?
I guess it's unfortunate because it's my senior year. If it was, like, my freshman or sophomore or junior year, I wouldn't really, like, worry about it because I'll be like, nah, I can make it up next year. I still have time to fix it, but this is my senior year. It's going to be pretty hard because if I end up failing, like, it's going to affect me a lot. I want to graduate and, like, I don't want to be, in quarantine or anything like that. I want it to be like everybody else. When there's a lot of people, and like when I get off the stage, like I see my mom and everybody there, and they tell me, oh, good job.
From Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, a Texas student dreams of graduating. At the top of this story, you heard from a young man in Texas named Reyes. He's a high school student and also a migrant farm worker. Since he was 9 years old, he's left school almost every year in the spring to do farm work in Michigan over the summer and into early fall. More than 300,000 farm workers in the U.S. are students like Reyes. Because agriculture is exempt from regulations that establish things like minimum wage and age limits, children can legally work in the fields starting at the age of 12, and sometimes even younger, if they're working on a family farm. And for those students, balancing schoolwork and the financial needs of a family is often challenging. And of course, now COVID-19 has thrown an extra wrench into things. This past spring, as Reyes entered his last semester of his senior year of high school and worked towards graduating, reporters Karen Coates and Valeria Fernandez have been following him, documenting the ups and downs along the way. But first, they actually take us back to when they met Reyes way back in 2018. Just a note, listeners, we won't be using some people's last names in this story because of their immigration status or their family status. Valeria tells us the story.
Edinburg, Texas is a small city just north of the U.S.-Mexico border. The city sits on the outskirts of McAllen in the Rio Grande Valley, and the land here is wide and flat. It's October and sugarcane season, and the fields are full of workers. Among the farm fields and new housing developments sits Edinburg High School. It's a sprawling campus of 2,500 students. And inside the school, in a conference room with no windows, a group of 8 young people gather around folding tables. Everyone here has one thing in common. While other kids spend their summer vacations going to camp or at the community pool, these students migrated north to work in agricultural fields.
Okay, who wants to go first, you or you?
And they are all members or former members of the Migrant Student Club at Edinburg High. They gathered today to share their stories.
My name is David, and I'm 17 right now. I'm about to turn 18 on Sunday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
David is a smiley young man with shaved hair on the sides. And he tells the room about his summer working in Michigan's blueberry and strawberry fields.
I'd wake up 4, 5, 6 in the morning and, okay, let's go. Make yourself a taco because that's all the time that we have for. And so we'd go out and it's long and it's hard. I mean, to stick your hand inside the bushes, you'd have to wear long sleeve maybe a double long sleeve because you rip your shirt, you rip your skin, you know?
He says he thought he was a pretty quick worker until he met other migrant workers.
I thought I was really, really fast. You know, I was like, you know what? Like, I'm a young guy. I'm going to be able to be like really, really fast at this. You know, like these old guys got nothing on me. I'd finish one bucket and the guy next to me finished all six.
Right next to David is Leslie, and she's a former student.
My parents have been migrant workers all my life. I was 2 months old when they first started migrating to Iowa.
She actually graduated in 2006 and went on to become a nurse. But she talks about how going to class as a migrant farm worker was a struggle, especially switching between her school in Texas and her school in Iowa.
I felt so out of place because these weren't my friends. It wasn't the people I was used to. I mean, everybody looked at me like, what are you doing here? You don't belong with us. It's hard. It's very difficult to go back and forth. You can't take the same classes. You're never with the same people. It was hard.
Just my name?
Yeah.
Ramon, a young man in a red t-shirt, is on the other side of the table. He chimes in.
I'm one of seven. The younger one's right there. This is my mother.
Many of the students or former students came here today with their mothers. They wanted to give us a full picture of what being in a migrant worker family is like.
And we've been going up to work for a good while, like a family tradition. Once you turn 13, my grandfather would take you, and well, our mother would join us, and they would take us up and we'd go work in Minnesota, North Dakota. But since I was a little bit on the shorter side, I had to wait till I was 13. And then when I was 13, then I was able to join them.
He still remembers his very first year starting out in Fargo, North Dakota, when he realized the farmer didn't use pesticides.
And I thought that was cool until I realized that that meant like all the weeds and all the, like everything that didn't belong there, we had to take out by ourselves. So that was a tough year to have as the first year, because that year alone, the farmer's like, all of the weeds must go. And since I was really new, I didn't know what was weed or what was not weed.
As they keep talking, the discussion is lively and there's a lot of chit-chat.
You know, we'd get half an hour of lunch and put pizza in a foil, put it out on the dashboard, and hopefully it's warm enough so you can eat it for lunch.
Oh, you want to go to the movies? I'm like, you know what, maybe not. Because I know what the value of this dollar was, and I don't want to just spend it to sit down for no reason. I'll wait till it comes out on DVD.
One time, a snake came out, and I took it out. I mean, I wasn't scared of it. I would get it with the hand. Like, frogs would come out, rats.
But there's one student this whole time who has been pretty quiet. He has on a gray baseball cap, and on his face, you can see the shadow of his first mustache. As he begins to talk, we're struck by his seriousness.
The asparagus, the smell is very, like, strong. Sometimes it sticks on the clothes, like, it doesn't take off sometimes.
Reyes is 16, and he has been working in Michigan for 7 years.
And last time I had this bag that was dirty, and when I came back with it, like, all the stench, like, smelled. I remember now the asparagus that we were picking and this and that, like, the days.
Sitting right by his side and listening closely is his mom, Maria Magdalena. And she begins talking.
Well, it's una experiencia bonita, pero a la vez es algo bien, bien duro.
Maria Magdalena first went to work in Michigan in 2011 with Reyes and her husband. She says the experience was beautiful, but hard.
Nosotros trabajamos el espárrago, trabajamos el frijol, trabajamos la papa, y trabajamos el maíz.
They work with asparagus, beans, potatoes, and corn. She ended up only working in the fields that 1 year. Maria Magdalena doesn't have papers, and so she was worried about being stopped and deported if she migrated north again. But she says her son Reyes has still been going.
Y no más pude ir ese año, pero mi hijo ha estado yendo.
And as she mentions him, she's overcome with emotion.
Él fue el que decidió ir para allá. Y él dijo, mami, yo quiero ir para allá para poderles ayudar a ustedes. Y yo le dije, ¿tú quieres ir? Dijo, sí, mami, yo quiero ir.
Maria Magdalena says Reyes decided to continue to work with other relatives in the fields when she couldn't go. He told her, "Mom, I want to go so I can help you." She said, "Are you sure?" And he said, "Yes." So she gave him permission to do it.
Pues él nos ayuda bastante porque pues él nos ayuda en vez con los biles y él pues ya él se compra toda su ropa, sus zapatos.
María Magdalena says Reyes has helped out a lot by paying household bills. And he pays for all of his own clothes, his shoes. And yet, she knows it's difficult work. And there are times she doesn't really want him to go back.
Y precisamente le dije, este año ya no vas a ir para allá.
And so this year, she told him, you won't go to the fields. Hearing his mom speak opens up some old wounds for Reyes.
I started working when I was 9 with my parents, like she had said. And at first, when I was small, it was hard for me because I was 9 years old in the field. Like, I didn't know what I was doing.
He says he felt alone without his mom, and he was bullied by other kids.
The first year, I suffered a lot, but I didn't tell my mom. I didn't want her to worry. So I was like, I'm not going to tell her. They used to tell me, because I was slow my first year. They used to tell me names. They used to tell me, you can't do this. Just quit. I suffered a lot, but I was like, you know what? I need to help my family, like, move on. Because if I don't do it, who is going to do it?
My co-reporter, Karen, has one last question for Reyes.
Do you have a message to people who are sort of disconnected from the foods that they're buying or that you're working with?
Just try not to judge the people that are doing your food. Because sometimes I would go to stores and they'll look at me like weird and I'll be like, oh, I just came out of work. What do you expect? I know I'm dirty and all that, but sometimes we'll eat in restaurants. They'll sit us like in a different place, but we'll be like, well, it's fine. We get it, we're dirty, but like just try to be a little more gentle.
This whole time as we've been talking, there is a man sitting off to the side on a folding chair in the corner. He's been listening to all these stories, occasionally jumping in with a few details of his own.
What they've gone through, the experience is still some of those things that I experienced in my life. And I can identify with them 100%.
This is Roberto Garcia, the Edinburgh High Migrant Student Counselor. Like many of the students here, he also grew up in the Edinburgh area, and as a kid, he remembers summers piling into a big truck to go work in the fields with his family.
My mother was pregnant with child, and they would literally have to pull over a couple of times where my mother would deliver a child, help other with the assistance of other ladies. And then 2 or 3 hours later, they would put him back on the truck and go on, like the Grapes of Wrath. That type of setting that when I saw and read the book, it reminded me of my own family as I was reading that book.
His mother had 21 children in all. Roberto was the 18th. And he credits his mom's strength for a lot.
What a life for this lady. And in seeing her have so many children and the life that she went through, she had, so on and so forth, really inspired me to want to try to break away from that type of that cycle and teach others as well how we can break away from that migrant life cycle.
He went on to become the first in his family to graduate from high school and get multiple degrees. And now he's part of the National Migrant Education Program, which has supported migrant students across the country since 1966. Roberto works with over 100 students, and he's essentially their cheerleader.
I was not the smartest cookie. I had to study 3 times harder than the other kids, but I was determined. So if I did it, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it.
Migrant students have disrupted schedules. They often leave school in early spring and come back in late fall, which means they miss out on stuff like school dances or joining a sports team. So Roberto started the Migrant Student Club as a way for these kids to connect with each other. And he keeps a close eye on them. If they stop coming to school, he'll visit their homes to bring them back. But one of his biggest roles is helping migrant students navigate 2 school systems, the one where they work and the one where they live in Texas.
I'll tell them, Juan, when you get to Roanoke, Indiana, I want for the counselor or the principal or whoever to call me because you need to be in these classes. Well, when they get there, they don't put them in those classes and the students lose credit.
Migrant students can actually take classes in the towns where they are working, but they don't always enroll or the schools don't offer the same classes.
This year I left early and they didn't want to give me 4 credits of mine. I went to school over there and they didn't have most of the classes that I have here, so they didn't give me a grade for it.
For example, Reyes tells us he left school early in May and returned in September. By then, he had missed so much class that while he was supposed to be a junior, he didn't technically have enough credits. And so, when Reyes returned that year from Michigan, he went looking for Roberto for help.
When I came, like a few weeks afterwards, he's like, "I got good news." And I was like, "What happened, sir?" And he's like, "I just got you your credits back."
It wasn't quite that easy. Roberto had to put him in a special program to make up the classwork he missed. And Reyes had to do some extra work at home. But in the end, he was allowed to become a junior.
And you just keep pushing and make it and get all your credits so you can be a senior. I was like, "Thank you, sir. I appreciate it very much."
This time around, Roberto was able to help Reyes. In Reyes' school district, only 71% of migrant students who started in the 9th grade made it all the way to graduation in 2017. That's a lower rate than some students who live under the poverty line. So we wanted to follow Reyes into his final year of high school. It's a year that is intense for any student, but in particular for Reyes, who has the added pressure of working and taking care of his family.
Like, I want to help my grandpa. I want to get my mom a better house, too. I'm trying to help all of my family.
When we started to check on him over a year later, one thing was clear.
I want a better life than this. Like, I don't want to be doing this for the rest of my life.
Coming up on Latino USA, we fast forward in time and check back in with Reyes over 1 year later. Stay with us, no te vayas.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, BetterHelp, the online counseling service dedicated to connecting you with a licensed counselor to help you overcome whatever stands in the way of your happiness. Fill out a questionnaire and get matched with a professional tailored to your needs. And if you aren't satisfied with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time, free of charge. Visit BetterHelp.com/Latino to get 10% off your first month. Get the help you deserve with BetterHelp.
Support for Latino USA and the following message come from Indeed. Indeed is here to help when small businesses have to be more efficient than ever, and every hire is critical. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because they get you the best people fast. You only pay for what you need, can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/Latino USA. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th.
Black voters play a crucial role for any Democrat who seeks to win the White House, but some big divides amongst that bloc, and some serious ambivalence, could determine who is elected president this November. Listen now on the Code Switch podcast from NPR.
And we're back. It's now 2020, and Reyes is closing in on his goal of graduating. He just started the last semester of his senior year. Reporters Karen Coates and Valeria Fernandez have been following him, and Valeria continues with the story now.
It's been about a year and a half since we last saw Reyes. We've been keeping in touch by phone and text. He's now 17.
¿Cómo está?
Bien. How are you doing?
Good.
And we call him in February. We want to see what he's up to and what's on his mind.
Oh, today we went on a field trip to go see a college and school.
Reyes went to Texas State Technical College, a community college nearby.
Yeah, they have a plaster that's inside, and they teach all hands-on welding. All you do is just weld like inside the place, so you don't have to be like in the heat.
He's thinking maybe about going into welding or fixing engines or even building airplanes.
Since I've been like used to the field, I'm like used to working with my hands. They said that I can get a job here in the airport there in Harlingen. Like I could even get a job there and they would be paying up to like $35 an hour.
We ask him about how his family is doing and he brings up his grandpa. When Reyes has money, it's his grandpa he likes to spend it on.
He likes going a lot to like the buffet. And I tell him like, if you want, we can go to eat today. And then he's like, are you sure? He's like, you better not be lying. I was like, yeah, I'll take you today.
His grandpa is the one who has been encouraging him to look at college classes.
He's always like worries about me. Even though sometimes he does get like a little bit grouchy, he does worry a lot about me and a lot about my cousins because he wants the best for us. He's always giving us advice. And he's always telling me like, he's like, you're going to make it like for me, Miko, and I know you are. Because you've been a hardworking kid since you were small.
But there's still a ways to go to graduation. A few weeks later, we call up his counselor, Roberto, to ask how Reyes is doing in school.
Reyes is really disappointed me as far as his grades.
He tells us lately he has watched Reyes' grades slip, and he's worried.
Towards the end of last semester, I had some complaints from some teachers that he was just like giving up. And I called him in and we talked about it. And he said that it was just, he was getting senioritis.
He was worried enough that he arranged some help for Reyes.
So in terms of that, I had to put him in a special class for migrant kids. And he's having to make up some of the work there because of his last semester's grades.
Reyes started doing extra work and catching up. But then, all of a sudden, things get much harder for Reyes and all students. Just a few days later, the coronavirus hits Texas. On March 17, Hidalgo County, which includes the city of Edinburgh, declares a state of emergency. We called Reyes' mother, Maria Magdalena, to see how they're doing.
Ahorita ya cerraron unas pulgas que ponen aquí como donde venden cosas.
She tells us she was planning to go sell a few things at the flea market over the weekend to make extra money, but it shut down. And she has a part-time job at a bakery, but that shut down too.
Ahorita están las tiendas, aquí ya no hay huevo, ya no hay pollo, ya no hay papel, no hay muchas cosas ya.
Maria Magdalena says there are shortages in the stores of things like eggs, chicken, and toilet paper. And she says she's worried about paying their mortgage.
Ay, no, Dios nomás nos ayude que ojalá y Dios quiere no dejemos de parar de trabajo porque pues los biles no se paran.
Maria Magdalena told her husband that they need all the help they can get from God. The bills don't wait, she says. You may stop working, but the bills don't stop. But even in the middle of this pandemic and the obstacles it brings, she says it's Reyes she's thinking about.
Y pues sí, realmente sí me preocupa como que él...
That he'll graduate and be able to go in the career that he wants. After talking to his mom, we want to check in with Reyes too.
Can you hear us?
Hi, Reyes.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Hey, good.
He says the Edinburgh Unified School District has announced that they will close until further notice due to COVID-19. He had been catching up on school in the special class Roberto put him in before the pandemic. And when we talk, he seems concerned that all the work he's put in to raise his grades could be lost.
Is this making you angry?
Not really angry. It's just that it makes me like a little bit worried, like, because I do want to graduate like with my whole class. Like, I wouldn't want to be like the one kid that like, everybody walking on top and I'm over here still trying to graduate. Like, I wouldn't want to do that. I've been trying to pass my classes with like 80s and 90s and I've been doing good. And then for this to like backfire on me, I can't call or I can't text the teacher because like I don't know their number or anything like that. You get me?
And in this moment, when his family is tight on money, he says he wishes he took a job at Walmart.
They're getting paid a lot. And now that I think about it, I should have gotten a job there. Like to help out my parents, just in case they needed help with anything.
Helping students like him cope with financial pressures outside of school is exactly why the National Migrant Education Program was created in the first place. But it's around this time in March that we also find out that the program that supports students like Reyes will be seriously cut back in fall.
We did get some bad news from the state. Our budget in the state of Texas in migrant ed is going to be cut 1/3.
Roberto is the one who tells us about this.
So there's going to be a lot less monies and possibly a lot less migrant personnel. It's from the national level.
We asked Roberto, what does that mean for students next year?
Very simple. There'll be less resources for them in terms of supplemental help, supplies, clothing, college tours, a parent meeting. It's going to be even less of an opportunity for the migrant student to get that additional help.
By early April, remote learning has been going on for a few weeks. And Roberto says it has been difficult for many of his students.
Oh, hey.
Can you hear us?
Okay, well, I can hear the three of you, and me is four, so there's four of us on the line.
So he calls Reyes to check in on him to talk about what he needs to finish in order to graduate.
Like, I'll get on the computer for like an hour a day, an hour or two, and just try to finish as much as I can.
Because of the coronavirus, Roberto says some of his students are not finishing all the credits they need, and so sometimes he's guiding them to finish a more basic diploma than they had planned. It's a strategy the school has turned to since the pandemic.
Your credits that you need to take, and as a matter of fact, I had Ms. Johnson calling me right now. You all hold on, okay?
And while Reyes is on the line, Roberto actually gets a call from another counselor, Mrs. Johnson. He puts her on a speakerphone.
Reyes, how many credits has he completed?
I just got off that stream.
They talk for a while about Reyes and look at his classwork.
As counselors, I think that would be the best bet to advise the young man and not have to carry on more classes than what he needs right now.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, hold on. Reyes?
Yes.
Okay, Reyes, did you hear Ms. Johnson? Was she saying that it's best for us to leave you in the 22-credit one? Because that's going to accept you into TSCC anyway.
They talk for a while about Reyes and look at his classwork. And then Roberto tells Reyes they have figured out that if he can just finish the rest of his current classwork, he can get a diploma. It won't be necessarily enough to get him into a four-year university, but it will let him study welding or engine mechanics at a technical college, like Texas State Community College.
All that they require, again, is just that a 22-credit foundation program. Okay? So you're okay. Don't get stressed. You're going to be okay. Okay?
All right.
¿Sí me entiendes?
Sí, lo entiendo.
Then Reyes asks Roberto about graduation. He wants to know, if he graduates, will the ceremony even happen?
It may happen, Reyes. Don't get discouraged, son.
Like graduation, like the walk, my mom was expecting for me like to walk. So like, hopefully they do a graduation. Because, like, my mom, she's the one that I wanted to do it for anyway.
At the end of the call, Roberto asked about Reyes's plan for the summer. He had mentioned Corpus Christi, which is 150 miles away.
You were thinking about maybe going to Corpus. What kind of work are you going to be doing over there, son?
Electricity.
Electrical work over there. Okay, so, and nothing with migrants. No agriculture.
No, but I might go to Michigan again. Okay. I don't know yet.
Michigan means working in the fields again.
Yes, I just woke up today and it is Thursday.
For the rest of the month of April, we don't hear much from Reyes. It turns out he got a full-time 9-to-5 job as a mechanic apprentice at a car shop. But he does send us a few voice recordings.
Hopefully we don't have to do that much today. Just a couple of cars. I just got home and I'm about to eat. My mom made some food. I just went to the doctor right now. It was pretty packed. The virus thing is still going on, I guess. I just finished like two or three of my assignments, and I'm gonna go take a shower right now. I gotta work in the morning.
We do hear from Roberto in May, who tells us Reyes has been a little difficult to reach. He's so close, he says. Just a few days of work and he'll be done.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Reyes, how are you doing, Nico?
Doing good, sir.
In late May, the last week of Reyes' senior year, Roberto gives Reyes a call with some important news. He tells him graduation will happen in person with social distancing measures later in the summer. And then...
Okay, well, guess what? You are fully certified with all the requirements to graduate. So congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, sir. I'm done.
Yes, I'm so proud. You're done. How does that feel?
Good, sir. Finally.
He tells Roberto, now I don't have to struggle anymore.
Reyes, is your mama there? Is she hugging you?
Yeah.
She's happy for you, right?
And then his mom gets on the line.
Yo le pedí a Dios que me ayudara para que mi hijo se graduara, ya que era mi orgullo poderlo ver caminar.
She says she asked God to help her son graduate, and that it would be her proudest moment to see him walk.
Y pues le quiero decir que lo amo, que lo quiero mucho, y que es mi orgullo.
She says she loves him, and she's so proud of him.
Sí, ya, gracias, mamá, por apoyarme. La amo mucho. Y pues ya la hice, ya no tiene que batallar conmigo de la escuela.
Reyes tells her he loves her too. He jokingly says that she won't have to grapple with him about school anymore.
Ahora sí, ya no se tiene que preocupar. Ahora sí, agarré el dinero para ayudarle.
She no longer has to worry, he says. Now he can really make money. And he says he's so grateful to have her as his mother.
Y... muchas gracias a por la madre que tengo.
Aquí vamos para el camino con mi mamá, preparándonos y alistándonos para la graduación de mi hijo y para irle a tomar fotos con su abuela.
It's graduation day. Maria Magdalena films on her phone as she gets in her car with Reyes and his grandma to head to Edinburgh High School.
Que es un día de los que yo esperaba con muchas ansias que se llegara. Y le doy gracias a Dios.
She says she'd been longing for this day to arrive. The 600 students are all several feet apart. There is no hugging or touching, and each student wears a mask. Reyes is much taller than when we first met him. And today, he's wearing his regalia and a green and yellow cord that all the migrant students wear.
And join me as we move our tassels from right to left to signify that we are now official high school graduates. Ball cut!
One, two, three, four.
In just a few days, Reyes will be gone already, off to Louisiana for a new summer job in construction. His plan is to save money for his family and to go to college in the fall, which means he'll be away from his family again. It's the irony, the tragedy of migrant work. People often take these exhausting, arduous jobs to help their families. And yet, the work often keeps them hundreds and thousands of miles away from the very people they're working for. One day, when he has the time and money, and his mom finally has her immigration papers, Reyes has a dream.
And like take her upstate and let her see Michigan again, or like not to go work, but to go see it as like Michigan as it is.
When she went before, she was too busy working in the asparagus fields to stop for a moment to notice the trees, the birds, the scenery. And he was working too, so they never had a summer vacation.
Of course, like when you're working, you don't really get to see it that much, but if you're there to visit, it's a really beautiful place.
He wants to go north again, but this time, He wants them to go together.
Our thanks to Reyes, his family, and to his counselor, Roberto Garcia. Since reporting this story, Reyes is back from working in Louisiana. He says at the end of August, he plans to go to Wisconsin to work in the potato fields. He wants to save enough money to attend college and later open up his own family business. This episode was written and reported by Karen Coates and Valeria Fernandez and edited by Sofia Palizacá, with additional editing from Antonia Cerejido. This reporting was supported by the International Women's Media Foundation and by the Education Writers Association. The Latino USA team includes Miguel Macias, Luis Treyes, Janice Yamoca, Julieta Martinelli, Ginny Montalvo, Alisa Escarce, and Alejandra Salazar, with help from Raúl Pérez. Fact-checking by Nidia Bautista. Our engineers are Stephanie Lebeau, Julia Caruso, and Leah Shaw. Our director of programming and operations is Natalia Fidelhotz. Our digital editor is Amanda Alcantara. Our New York Women's Foundation Ignite Fellow is Julia Rocha. Our interns are Sofia Sanchez and Marie Mendoza. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. Hasta la próxima. Ciao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by W.K. Kellogg Foundation, a partner with communities where children come first. The Annie E. Casey Foundation creates a brighter future for the nation's children by strengthening families, building greater economic opportunity, and transforming communities. And funding for Latino USA's coverage of A Culture of Health is made possible in part by a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.